Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated if you would, please. Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. September 26th, 2020, will be known as a pivotal day in our nation. It will be known as a moed. A moed is an appointed time, place, and fixed date. And yesterday was not just any old Saturday. It was a major, major turning point in the history of the United States of America. There were two events that were taking place in Washington, D.C. simultaneously. On the Mall was the return, a day of repentance before the Lord. All day long, speaker after speaker, whether they were there in person or by video, such as Brother Copeland and Pastor Terry, and Lily Cerrone, whose parents attend church here. Lily grew up here, and she was one that prayed from Israel. And that was taking place to a major crowd of people and to an audience around the world. As a matter of fact, Kenneth Copeland Ministries paid for the ability for them to broadcast that event. And at the same time, at the White House, in the Rose Garden, there was a decision that was made by the President of the United States to fill the position left by Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the Supreme Court, a woman who he sees as completely and totally competent and well appointed and anointed to do that job. Those two things were taking place at the same time. It was a major demonstration of the new birth for America. Let's talk about the Supreme Court. Let's talk about the judges. We've been talking over these last few weeks about comparing the two platforms to what they believe concerning the Supreme Court and judges. How important are the Supreme Court and judges to this election process and to our nation? They're extremely important. Do not consider them just a side issue. It is a major issue. The president's job is to appoint Supreme Court judges and federal judges who clearly represent his views and the views of his party's platforms. These judges have a major impact on our nation and our future. We have to know that. This is so important. And that's why we have to vote. Because the judges are making decisions that will last for decades. The founding fathers would have been shocked if they could have seen into the future of Supreme Court decisions. 1962, they ruled prayer out of public schools. 1963, they ruled the Bible out of public schools. 1973, they opened the door to abortion through Doe versus Bolton and Roe v. Wade. So we see how important it is. A handful of people sitting on that bench making decisions for this nation. The president, up to this point, has appointed almost 200 conservative federal judges with lifetime appointments and more females to the judge seats. Both a record in recent presidential history. Local judges, that's our responsibility. That's what you and I are called to do. But you have to understand that even though one might think, well, that's just a local judge, That local judge may have an eye on the future. That local judge may have an eye on the Supreme Court. Who are we putting in those positions? It's our responsibility to vote and put the right people in those responsibilities. So where does the Bible stand on judges? Where does the Bible stand on the Supreme Court? Well, look with me at Isaiah chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 25 and 26. I'll read it to you in the King James and then in the New Living Translation. It says, "And I will turn my hand upon thee, and purely, or according to pureness, purge away thy dross, and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city." It says in the New Living Translation, "I will raise my fist against you. I will melt you down and skim off your slag. I will remove all your impurities. Then I will give you good judges again and wise counselors like you used to have. Then Jerusalem will again be called the home of justice and the faithful city." I put in here, "Then Washington will again be called the home of justice and the faithful city, a city of righteousness." That speaks to the founding fathers. The original intent of the founding fathers where the Supreme Court was concerned. Let me give you two other scriptures. 2 Chronicles 19, 5 through 7. I'll read it to you in the Amplified Translation. And I believe this is dealing with federal judges. It says, "He appointed judges throughout all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, be careful what you do." This is very serious. "Be careful what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord. And he is with you in the matter of judgment. So now let the reverence and the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed what you do, for there is no injustice with the Lord our God, or partiality, or taking of bribes." Then there are local judges. The local judges that we vote for, so important. Deuteronomy 16, 18 through 20. I'll read to you from the New Living Translation. "Appoint judges and officials for yourselves from each of your tribes in all the towns the Lord your God is giving you." See, this is the local level. This is what we do. "They must judge the people fairly. You must never twist judgment, justice, or show partiality. Never accept a bribe, for bribes blind the eyes of the wise and corrupt the decisions of the godly. Let true justice prevail, so you may live and occupy the land that the Lord your God is giving you." So you see here, these are just a few of the scriptures that we find. God is the ultimate judge. These judges serve under Almighty God. John Jay was the first Supreme Court justice. And he said this, "Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers. And it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of a Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers." This is the first Supreme Court justice. And on that original Supreme Court, there were practices that they had. They would pray for God's wisdom before ruling. And they would quote the Bible to make their decisions. That is what our founding fathers did in the Supreme Court. So let's take a look at where both of those parties stand, where the Supreme Court is concerned. First, the Democrat. Even though the 2020 Democrat Party platform is silent on the subject of marriage, the 2016 party platform supported the redefinition of marriage through the Supreme Court's decision in the Obergefell versus Hodges on June 26, 2015. The Supreme Court ruled the fundamental right to marry is guaranteed to same-sex couples by both the Due Process Clause and the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution. The 5-4 ruling, imagine that. 5-4 ruling. How close that is. How amazing it is that these 9 people made such a monumental decision in our nation. The 5-4 ruling requires all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and the insular areas to perform and recognize the marriages of same-sex couples on the same terms and conditions as the marriage of opposite-sex couples with all the accompanying rights and responsibilities. That was a Supreme Court decision. Democrats applauded the decision by the Supreme Court that recognized LGBT people, like other Americans, have the right to marry the person they love. We will appoint U.S. Supreme Court justices and federal judges who will respect and enforce foundational precedents, including Roe v. Wade. That's where the Democrat Party stands on the Supreme Court and on federal judges. Where does the Republican Party stand on Supreme Court decisions? They write, traditional marriage and family, based on marriage between one man and one woman, is the foundation for a free society and has for a millennia been entrusted with rearing children and instilling cultural values. Now, we will take one of our times together and talk about the issue of where these two parties stand on same-sex marriage. There are scriptures that we must read and we must understand. But for the time being, we're talking about the decisions that the Supreme Court makes. So they said, we condemn the Supreme Court's ruling in the United States versus Windsor, which wrongly removed the ability of Congress to define marriage policy in federal law. We also condemn the Supreme Court's lawless ruling in Obergefell versus Hodges, robbing 320 million Americans of their legitimate constitutional authority to define marriage as the union of one man and one woman. We do not accept the Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage, and we urge its reversal, whether through judicial reconsideration or a constitutional amendment returning control over marriage to the states. We seek to enable courts to begin to reverse the long line of activist decisions, including Roe v. Wade and Obergefell versus Hodges. So you see the difference. You see their stand where the Supreme Court is concerned and federal judges are concerned. Looking at this from a spiritual standpoint, there is someone that we have all come to know and recognize and appreciate. He was here with us at the recent Victory Thon that we had, and it's Pastor Hank Kuhneman. And Hank Kuhneman is a prophet. He operates in that prophet pastoral office. And the words from the Lord that he gives are quite accurate about what we are to see and what is yet to come. And I wanted to read to you 3 of these prophecies in the light of what took place yesterday. And I don't know how many of you were able to view the return. I didn't get to see all of it, but I saw great portions of it. And at the same time, as the return was taking place in the Rose Garden of the White House, the other return was taking place, returning our nation to its heritage and its roots and its biblical roots. But these prophecies that I'm about to read to you, they are so amazing in the light of what we are experiencing right now in our nation. This one, December 31st, 2018. The Lord speaking through Hank Kuhneman. He said, I am greater than your Senate, and I am greater than your Supreme Court. I will shake your court again. and one who represented death, who was part of legalizing death to those who never had a chance to walk the earth, I shall take that which represented death of a ruling of a woman, and I shall give it back to your courts. I shall give back to your courts a woman who shall represent justice. And as this takes place, get ready, because this is the new era that I'm speaking. There shall be a reversal of the laws upon the land that aborts the children in the womb, and it's coming fast. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May 22nd, 2019. Just as things get heated up in your land, there will be a distraction that will be from your Supreme Court. It will bring discussion, fear, arguing, and bickering, because it is about to fall upon this nation. One who stood for death in the womb, justice demands your replacement. Therefore, a woman has been chosen to rise up. A woman for a woman. Injustice for justice. And just last week, at our Victory-thon, September 22nd, 2020, Kenneth and Gloria were standing, talking about them. And I had an urgency to have Hank Kuhneman come and speak a word over them. But before he spoke that word over them, he gave this word: I am the God that brings great change to the earth. Do you remember the word from the Lord that Brother Copeland had for the year, this year, 2020, the year of great change? Great change. I am the God that brings great change to the earth. That should give you and I great hope, knowing He is the one that brings great change. If we stand in faith, we believe Him. If we pray, if we exercise our faith and do not give up and do not quit, we will see the change that needs to take place. I am the God that brings great change to the earth. Look to the earth and watch and see. As I am moving upon the earth shall become unsettled. Things will be shifted and move back into place and into divine order. Watch even specifically what shall take place even upon the land of the United States. For it is not in your too distant future that you will see a new court that shall arise in the land. There will be rulings that shall be 6-3, 7-2, and 8-1. Now keep that in mind. 6-3, 7-2, 8-1. 6-3, 7-2, 8-1. And then he said this, the Lord said this, that she will be in favor of righteousness. That she shall be in favor of righteousness. Because I am stepping in at this time, I am the God who is bringing forth change. You will see it with your own eyes. Six, three, seven, two, eight, one. So I took time yesterday and just meditated on that. And I went through and I made a list of the Supreme Court before Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away, which would have been September 18th, 2020. So the Supreme Court, September 18th, 2020, on the Supreme Court was John Roberts, Chief Justice, conservative. Now, these first five names I'm reading to you, they were appointed by conservative presidents. John Roberts, Chief Justice, conservative. Clarence Thomas, conservative. Samuel Alito Jr., conservative. Neil Gorsuch, conservative. Brett Kavanaugh, conservative. 5. Then there's Ruth Bader Ginsburg, liberal. Stephen Breyer, liberal. Sonia Sotomayor, liberal. Elena Kagan, liberal. I read these names to you. These are important names. We should be praying over these names. We should be lifting these names before the Lord, lifting the Supreme Court before the Lord. 5 conservatives, 4 liberals. When Amy Coney Barrett is confirmed, the new Supreme Court count will be 6 conservatives, 3 liberals. 6-3. When another liberal leaves, the Supreme Court will be made up of 7 conservatives and 2 liberals. 7-2. When another liberal leaves, the Supreme Court will be made up of 8 conservatives and 1 liberal. 8-1. There will be rulings that shall be 6-3, 7-2, and 8-1. That's what that is saying to us. The future of the Supreme Court is being laid out before us. What about the woman for a woman prophecy? Again, yesterday, as I was watching, trying to keep up with both events that were taking place in Washington, D.C., this moed, this place and time, this fixed day that was taking place. And as people were praying on the mall and worshiping the Lord and repenting, at the same time, 4 o'clock that afternoon, there was a ceremony that was taking place in the Rose Garden. President Trump's top judge to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg is Amy Coney Barrett. President Trump first nominated Barrett to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 7th Circuit in 2017. Going back out of law school, she clerked for a very strong conservative Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. She considered him her mentor, and she shared with him the belief in originalism. What is originalism? Originalism is defined as judges who interpret the words of the Constitution as the authors originally intended. She was a law professor at Notre Dame for 15 years. And while she was there at Notre Dame, she was a member of an anti-abortion group called Faculty for Life. She's previously written that judges shouldn't be held to upholding Supreme Court precedents and would join the justices in overturning Roe v. Wade. The day is coming. I'm telling you, the day is coming. President Trump did a magnificent job of sharing about her background, talked about her husband, who has a law firm, and her children, 7 of them, 2 of which were adopted from Haiti. It takes a woman like that in running a family to sit on the Supreme Court. Do you not realize what biblical proportion this is? I remind you of Deborah, who is both a spiritual leader and a judge. I believe we have one here. The times, they are a-changing. But listen to this. In my research yesterday, I was looking at the Washington Post, I was looking at the New York Times. And let me quote to you from the New York Times. She and her husband are members of a Christian group, which would be a church. I looked it up online. Called the People of Praise, which grew out of the 1960s Catholic Charismatic Renewal Movement. The group adopted Pentecostal practices such as speaking in tongues, belief in prophecy, and divine healing. Yeah. So I looked up the People of Praise website and I found this on it. Like hundreds of millions of other Christians in the Pentecostal movement, People of Praise members have experienced the blessing of the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the charismatic gifts as described in the New Testament. This is a source of great joy for us and an important aspect of what God is doing in our world today. That's the church that they go to. And I'll begin to wrap it up with this. In a 2006 speech to Notre Dame graduates, she spoke of law as a higher calling. She said, "If you can keep in mind that your fundamental purpose in life is not to be a lawyer, but to know, love, and serve God, you truly will be a different kind of lawyer. Always remember that a legal career is but a means to an end, and that end is building the kingdom of God." Come on, can we give praise to the Lord for this? We are witnessing the midst. We are in the midst of an awakening to God. We're in the midst of an awakening to God in this nation. We're in the midst of an awakening of God in the nations. And we saw it. We saw it reach another level yesterday as simultaneously kingdom of heaven work is being done on the earth. I'm going to ask Pastor Terry if you would come. And we need to be praying over this and praying over the confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett. To believe God that this woman of God, this woman for a woman, will sit on that highly esteemed and anointed bench.
Praise Pastor the Lord. Terry. I just want to mention a couple of things about Deborah. And the scripture that Pastor George read in Isaiah chapter 1, I'm going to back it up just a few verses. "And the Lord said, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel." The Lord of hosts, that means angels are involved in this. That means he is called, he has blown the trumpet, he's blown the whistle, and the spiritual forces of God have mounted where this is concerned. And this is what he said, "I will appease myself on my adversaries and avenge myself on my enemies. I will bring my hand against upon you and thoroughly purge away your dross." Dross is the scum. It's literally what it is. Dross is scum that rises to the surface. Dross has to be identified. Dross has to be drawn out. Dross has to come to the surface where you can see exactly what it is, or in this case, who it is, what sides people are taking. And how is he going to do that? "I'll purge away the dross. I'll take away your tin, your alloy." What is that? That's mixture. That's compromise. "I will restore," and this is how, "I will restore your judges as at the first."
Thank you, Lord.
What were the judges at the beginning? What did he call the first judges? The first judges, of course, he declares also in Isaiah that he is the judge. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. That's where we got the three branches of government, in case you didn't know that. That's the judicial, the legal, and the executive branches of government. But what were those judges? And if you look, of course, we do have, makes it very easy when the Bible labels a book and calls it Judges. That makes it really simple. Many of the judges that are listed in that book were actually only given a few verses, some just a few verses. Many of the judges only judged in natural things. But Deborah, there are two chapters about Deborah. And in Deborah, she, in reading Jewish commentaries and discussion about her, she was the first to be a judge that was called a prophet. She is the first one who judged both legal and spiritual matters. So they brought to her aspects of the law or the scriptural law, as well as civic government and law. And she also, from that prophetic place, led military decisions. She had one of the greatest impacts on the nation of any judge throughout the entire book, and they say is the one who is most next to Samuel as the greatest judge of the Old Testament, and made the way for the ministry of the prophet. Praise the Lord for her. One of the things to take note of in Judges 5:15, it says the princes of Issachar came down with Deborah. The sons of Issachar were the ones, and the princes were the leaders of that group, that tribe. But the sons of Issachar, the Bible says that they understood the times. They had insight into what was going on. They understood what was necessary in the moment. They were advisors and counselors with her in these decisions, and under her direction, they became faithful to the military commander, Barak. What impact, what power? Now, we see a lot of things happening with her that can be represented in a lot of different women that we see in our government today. I'm thankful for a president who has recognized qualification and recognized that and didn't discount gender or race because of it. He has put more people of color and females than I understand than any president in the past. Pastor Greg handed me this. I'd heard others make these statements as well, that she is chosen in the 9th month. There are 9 members of her family. She will be the 9th justice. And in Hebrew, the word that number 9 speaks of judgment. I tell you, God's got his hand all over this. And another thing that's interesting is that it has already brought unity among some Republicans who have been anti-Trump, who have now said that they will cast their vote for this so that it can be a speedy confirmation.
Praise God. Yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So just to echo the things that you were saying, Pastor George, that the word and our faith is set in this. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give thanksgiving that we stand on this word, Lord, that you said in Isaiah that you would restore the land and take vengeance on our enemies through the judges. That you will restore judges as you put them in, as you saw fit. And we thank you, Father, for the word of our first Supreme Court justice. And we thank you that there will be Christian judges who will judge a Christian nation in the light of the word of God and in the light of what the word of God says is righteousness, not society, not Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or social media, not the popular thinking, but what you determined is righteousness. And when righteousness reigns, when righteousness prevails, the people can rejoice. There's liberty.
Thank you, Lord.
For only in the spirit of faith and truth and life of the word of God is there real liberty, for it is the truth of the word of God that makes men free.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Father. Oh, how we praise you that you have heard the prayers of your people.
Thank you.
And now, Lord, we speak in the name of Jesus that spirit of that of we pray, Lord, that those who wish to cause trouble, who wish to cause confusion, who wish to cause problems, that, Lord, their own determination, their own seeds that they intend to sow will come back on them. There will be confusion and they'll be unable. That, Lord, in Jesus' name, that strife and confusion is in the enemy's camp as you define
That's
it.
That's right.
And in the name of Jesus, righteousness will rise to the top quickly.
Thank you.
Confirmation will happen quickly. And Lord, we ask, we pray in Jesus' name, that you keep our conservative justices, that you keep them, you keep them spirit and soul and body, and that they are stand free from the pressures of the world and stand free from the pressures of demonic influences and thoughts and lies, and that they are maintain their place and confidence in you in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, for all the justices, that their eyes will be opened and flooded with light.
That,
Lord, they'll see and know the hope of your calling in them. And you will have your will,
you will.
With these justices in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord,
praise
how we give you praise. 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 And we continue, Lord, to believe over this election that your will be done. Your will be done in the presidency, the vice presidency, and in all of our House of Representatives, our Senate, and every judge, every governor, every state position in capitals, Lord, and every city, every school board, every function of election, every amendment. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we declare that righteousness will prevail.
Righteousness.
We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise.
Thank you.
We give you praise.
Praise
we
you,
give
Lord.
You praise.
Praise you. Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Praise God. Let's all stand up together.
Hallelujah.
As we prepare to leave today. Can you praise God for that?